Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
Boy, Sam.
Hey. Natural.
Hey. Get over here.
I'm behind you.
Get into the podcast ring.
Fine. It's like a hot tub. It stings. also, my example of a thing that stings is a hot tub because I'm a huge pussy.
Yeah, why does the hot tub sting you? Is it all those open
sores? Oh, no. Too hot. Anything more emasculating than that?
You know what a hot tub is pointy? I think you're thinking of hot. what up, listeners? Welcome to Fight Island, the podcast about fictional fights and the very real island where 300 of them have taken place. Actually, 297 of them have taken place, give or take. My name is Jordan Dahl.
I'm Sam Wiles.
And today we've got a bit of a treat for you. This is our centennial episode, 100 years of podcasting. Who knew, huh? It feels
one podcast a year, and we finally did. We got to our goal.
Exactly, we did.
Smart.
And we're both so old now we can die. No, we can't. We must keep toiling. This is but the beginning. But we did cook up something special for you. We have three fights. Three guests. Our topic is kings, and we are going to be doing a lightweight fight with David Bory, none other than from where do you know him from, Sam? You know him from the internet, as the G is silent.
From his podcast, All Fantasy Everything. He's the voice of Comedy Central. He's our friend.
You know him from that.
I know him from hanging out.
We have a middleweight fight with Nicole Conlon. Wonderful comedian, writer for the Colbert Show, my roommate, my wonderful girlfriend, and friend of the pod. And then we have a heavyweight fight
with total stranger James total Austin stranger. Johnson.
Complete boy, what a character though.
Yeah, you know him from other people. You know him from Trump. You know him from Michael Rappaport. You know him from Jeffrey Tambor. You know Absolutely. Him from doing people.
Totally. Shrimp Jedge on the internet. Check it out. But right now...
We sort of had an episode of our Mount Rushmore of Fight Island guests.
Totally. Absolutely. Had a bunch of our faves back. We had three incredible fights. And here they are. Let's go. David Bory, lightweight kings.
I would pay $1,000 to see Terry Crews and Mike Tyson's adaptation of Ryan.
I want to see the fucking. Now I want to see the fight, the full contact Fight Island version of Rent, where it's just like weirdly combative the whole time.
it's the AIDS battling their immune system.
They're so weird. There's a weird.
Terry Crews is the immune system. Mike Tyson's the AIDS.
Well, now we're getting into fucking what was the one where they went inside of Bill Murray?
Magic School Bus.
Pluto Nash. No, shit.
Both wrong. Jones. Both hilarious answers.
Dave, wasn't it called Dave?
Yeah, I think Dave. We're getting into Dave territory.
No,
here.
Osmosis Jones was also inside is. A man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would watch Terry Crews go into somebody's body and fight all the diseases in there.
Yeah, oh yeah. And then blow it somehow because he's a pud.
It feels like some kind of, it feels like some kind of like some kind of weird fucking Crest commercial that hasn't happened.
Oh, like he goes in to fight the gingivitis.
Yeah, Terry gets shrunk down to fight the cavity creeps.
Yeah, and he's like, I can't fight, I'm addicted to porn.
It feels open like they tried to point Mac and computer. Me. A- tried to Mac and Me a Crest commercial. They're like, we made a movie.
That's a video game at least, though, right?
Oh, at the very least. Yeah.
I could do that. I could whatever. I could watch that.
Blast some cavity creeps?
As no, Cruise. That's what Terry Crews is addicted to watching. Blasted cavity creams. He's got an adult tracker on his.
Despite what we've been talking about, we're not fighting cavities. We're not fighting creeps. We're not fighting cavity creeps.
We're not fighting creeps cavities.
We're not fighting creeps cavities. That's up to them every day.
All right, who are some heavyweight creeps cavities?
Ooh, man. I mean,
Epstein's cavities.
Yeah, Dahmer's cookie cutter's got to be up there.
Did you see the guy? Who is it? They just cast somebody to play Jeffrey Dahmer, and it's like spot on.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, is it Benedict Cumberbatch?
No, but
that's a good
Adam
one,
Driver.
That motherfucker, Benedict Cumberbatch, looks like he has swallowed some hands whole. You know?
No,
he looks like a weird snake man.
Like he swallowed a ham hole?
No,
said?
Hand. Like he cut someone's hand.
Oh,
off,
like he swallows hands whole.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that.
Thank you. I
mean, he looks like a dude named Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah,
he really
looks
does.
Like he looks like somebody over sharpened a pencil with a steak knife.
He's from an old time where magic still existed. That's what he looks like.
He looks like somebody's wicked reflection that came to life from a
mirror. Yeah, he grew up in a mirror and now is out walking around.
He looks like he knows witches personally.
All right, not fighting witches. We're not fighting cavity creeps. We're fighting kings. It's the 100th episode kings. Of Fight Island. We're doing lightweight kings, which is kind of a misnomer, but we're gonna figure out who are some lightweight. When you think of a king, who's like
me?
you're going to the king open mics. You're doing some little decrees.
Does Micronesia have a royal family?
I don't know. I would in my uneducated mind, I imagine they have several small. People are all running it together, you know?
Well, that's
not
Macronesia.
Actual small
I'm talking about.
Macronesia is. Macronesia sounds like it's run by a gentle giant. A Mario.
When I was a kid,
like
I had to play with macro machines. They're not as good.
Yeah. No, that was just a car. Your dad let you drive his car.
Yeah. Your dad just.
He had a drinking problem. I'm sorry. It was not cool.
Yeah, when micro machines go out and sit in the Subaru for a while.
I got your micro machines in the garage.
biggest micro machines in the neighborhood.
I'm not gonna pay for another car, ding dong.
We're getting GoBots. They have lower gas mileage. Yeah.
These wheels are plenty hot.
Okay. Sam, you teased, you were like, I've got a perfect lightweight king before this.
Oh. The recently deceased Larry.
Oh, that's a good light. Is that arguably though maybe a heavyweight?
He's big. See, this is the problem because he's physically very light.
Yes.
Just to look at him is like, oh, you're like a wasp's nest.
Yeah.
You just blow away. And you're probably filled with wasps at this point. But like culturally speaking, huge.
What about Mike Bibby of the Sacramento Kings?
I also like that. I thought about that and I was like, we can't make Jordan talk about Mike Bibby.
I think Jordan just has to see a picture of Mike Bibby and he's going to have a bunch of shit to say about that.
Well, we could do the whole like 2001 Sacramento Kings. It's a very funny group.
As long as two people know about it, that's enough for me. I can go with it.
Quick review of the Sacramento Kings, Jordan. There was this team that had Vlade Divac, who smoked cigarettes at halftime. It had Pages Stojakovic.
But he's from a different country.
Yeah, like, he's from Yugoslavia.
Wait, like
he had Chris Webber, who only wore his signature shoe had wood grain on it, like it was the interior of a sedan.
Also a spinning rim in it.
Yeah, yes. Doug Christie, whose wife yelled at him the entire game like she was his coach.
He certainly, I mean, we got to talk about the cigarettes thing. He would like go out a fire exit and be like, I have to smoke.
Yeah, Vlade Divac would smoke at halftime. Yeah. It's true.
He likes smoking. He's from Serbia.
He's like smoking.
I get it. Yeah.
My name is I make it to the league. I'm athlete.
That, it does like, not affect my play.
Yeah, I imagine that they don't have the types of cigarettes he needs here.
No, he had to negotiate his contract. He got played in Cools and Blue Jeans, actually.
Yeah.
They're Jordache. I get paid in Jordache.
I like it. Do you guys want to do all? I was going to say, I'll throw this out there right now.
Yes.
We've mentioned before King Tut, and I think King Tut fits into lightweight King.
He is because you know how I feel.
Physically.
I like Tut versus Larry because it's a kind of weird old young inversion.
I like that, but both their bones are hollow.
Yeah,
and they're both like famously sarcophaguses. Yeah, like, it works pretty well. Sarcophagi. I'm so dumb.
Seem like sarcophagis. Yeah. It does seem like
a couple of sarcophagis.
It does seem like a weird fight between two very different kinds of wizards.
Sarcophagis like us.
That's the name of the fucking the buddy cop film that these guys are in.
I would love it. King just run around interviewing people and then dying early.
Okay, listen, they got all shrunk down and they go inside Terry Crews. to battle his porn addiction.
Reverse Osmosis Jones.
They have to travel to his balls to yell at them. Quit doing it.
No, that's where it starts. They got to get in through the dick.
They started out in the dick. They got escape from Ball Mountain, like Witch Mountain. Except it's
like Witch Mountain.
Yeah, like they're escaping. They start out in Terry Crews.
Fucking hell.
And then the two kings.
And then the two kings fight.
Go
right,
off king.
Anyway.
They got to make him go off king, and then they split up.
That's the sequel.
It's called Go Off King.
Sarcophagi's like us, go off kings. Okay, I love it. So the question before us is, who's going to win in a fight between Larry King and King Tutankhamun?
Tutankhamun.
AKA King Tut.
Yeah, no.
The boy Tut King.
Come in. The boy king himself. He was, all right, we're going to check out Tut Facts for Kids.
Yeah.
Well, while Jordan's doing Tut Facts, let's.
Adults.
here's what happens. Strengths.
See what happens then.
Tut Facts After Dark.
Yeah. Tut Facts Confessions.
King Tut Facts.
Some strengths for Tut, I think, is he can command masses of people.
Sure.
Right.
But so can Larry King. I feel like that's for
influence.
Both sides.
It's really good.
Yeah, they
point.
Both have a wide reach, like wider than they should or you would think.
King Tut is a newer ghost, so he has more control over, or he's been a ghost longer, so maybe better control over his ghostly powers than Larry King. Larry King probably still thinks he's alive, kind of.
Truly, yeah. He's in that fresh phase of ghostdom where he's like, "Where did I put my keys?" You know,
like,
he's still looking.
Right.
He's still trying to check out of the hospital. Yeah,
it's just like, all right, now I'm getting all the good interviews.
I Napoleon. What in the world?
I like being dead.
I think this is Larry King. I like being dead. I think you're right. I think King Tut is bringing a lot of kind of like heavy. Like mummy energy. What was that video game? Darksiders or
Shaq Fu?
There was a mummy in Shaq Fu. Huh?
I know. That's what I'm saying.
The '90s had a. There was a lot of mummies in arcade games
were
in the
big
'90s.
Big on mummies before the zombie bullshit took over. Remember when we used to love mummies?
You're right. There
come
was
on,
like
return.
careful. There was like there's like a '90s cartoon that was like sweet mummies that like rode skateboards and shit.
Yeah, dude, we loved mummies. They were in.
There was a cartoon of everything that rode skateboards.
That's true.
Everything. Troll dolls. The ninja, everything got Ninja Turtle, yeah, including
notice
mummies.
How they never had cartoons of skateboards riding men, though.
True. Yeah. The world wasn't ready, quite simply.
Yeah. That's my pitch. Don't take it.
So
I'm going to Comedy Bang Bang next week. That's awesome.
I'm a talking skateboard that rides a man. It's an audio sketch.
A cishet white man.
Are you thinking like animation for this or no, this is real.
This is live action, yeah. No, that skateboard's gonna kickflip a dude.
It's gonna
kickflip a white dude.
The skateboard is black. It's a black skateboard.
It's a black skateboard gonna kickflip a white dude, like over a shopping cart or something.
Over two other white dudes.
Over two other white dudes.
Can you jump your white dude over two other white dudes? That's a TV show.
Time to get extreme.
I think King Tut is going to bring that 90s mummy energy that's like Darkstalkers was the video game you could fight as a mummy. You could drop a sarcophagus on somebody. It's pretty cool. But I also think that he is, in the end, the only one of these two guys that is an actual like emperor, like royalty.
Barely.
And I think.
How old was he?
16 when he died.
And how old was he when he took over the kingdom?
Like 15.
Okay, so for a year.
A high school Larry freshman.
Larry King was on top for 30. Don't play my man out like that.
Yeah, hey, listen. No, that's what I'm saying. I'm just saying that I think Larry would be able to play into the insecurities of this boy king.
Oh, because he's never like kissed a girl.
Exactly. Maybe he doesn't feel like he's living up to being a pharaoh. The other pharaoh is all pick on him, you know. He is so remarkably inbred, it looks like.
Didn't his body not work?
Yeah, he had like some stuff going on, and they did like
his
they
bones
did,
used to flute.
They did.
He had Lizzo bones.
Yeah, when he would walk,
he can play his bones.
He could play his bones.
When he would walk, there was an audible whistle. Jesus. And 100 eps. It's good that we're getting canceled right at 100.
This isn't canceling. It's not canceling to play your own bones like a flute. That's not. That's not empowering,
frankly.
Who's that offending?
Yeah.
The flute bones.
The flute bones are going to come after you. Very slowly.
I'll hear them a mile away.
Pointing that out, that I think Larry could make him feel a little shame. Larry King just bowled into the question. Like he didn't have a lot of tact, which would made him a cool interviewer, but he'd be like, he'd be like, so your parents are siblings.
So we have flute bones. What's that like?
So you're not a real king, huh?
I think you are a boy.
You seem to be a boy.
What's that about?
What's that about? I was told a king was coming here today, and you appear to be a boy.
CNN called me. Is that a king? You're a little boy. You're a little flute bone boy.
It says here you never graduated high school.
And I think this is going to drive him into a frenzy, you know, and he's going to, you know, stop making fun of me.
But then he's got that ting angst. You gotta watch out for.
And he's got mummies, angst. You know. Sees him, my jackal-headed warrior.
Does he have other mummies?
He's gotta have other mummies. This is King Tut.
So is King Tut and all the servants he was buried with?
Yeah, I assume he's got people like that he crossed over with.
I mean, but that's still, this is Fight Island. Fight Island's not gonna let that happen. They can be in the crowd. Like, the crowd is full of, like, you know.
You can have an entourage at the Kumite, right?
His favorite servants and cats and shit. Yeah, exactly. That dude from Bloodsport with the headband is there.
Yeah, the white guy.
My favorite part of Bloodsport is when fucking Jean-Claude Van Damme comes over and beats that dude at that karate arcade game, and he's like, you have actual martial skill. Like, you must be a good Kumite guy. You've proven yourself.
Because every nerd watching it wants that to be the case.
Totally.
Well, and King Tut has his entourage he was buried with. Larry King's got those two big sons. You know, Larry King has two big sons.
How big?
Yeah, they're like big. They're like big dudes. They're like 19. They're strapping. No, they're like muscly.
Like the Winklevoss twins?
Yeah, he has like two little Winklevosses. Their names are like Hammer and like Rainbow or something. They're like
two little Winklevosses.
They're like LA they're like LA like blonde studs. They look like the Logan. They look like Logan Pauls.
Hold on, I'm looking it up.
Is that gonna be am I googling the King twins right now?
Something way different. Make sure you use an S and not a Z.
Larry King's sons. Oh, geez. Wait a minute. I don't know. I'm seeing a guy who has a lazy eye. Oh, no. There they are. Larry King's youngest sons.
Whoa. He had them when he was like 70.
His kid's named Cannon Edward King.
Cannon.
He's got
that's
so
what
many
it is.
Kids. Okay. Let's go into. Okay. So I think that if King Tut is bringing all of his attaché of afterlife attendants, I think Larry King is bringing his copious family.
Whoa.
Just all of his hot sons.
He was breeding forever. God. Dude.
Oh yeah, yeah. I don't think he shot. He didn't shoot a blank till the day he died.
Damn, that guy's the
kid. He's been bringing it the whole time.
His kid's smile is like a sunrise.
Truly, this is. I'm taken aback at how hot his kids are.
I'm taken aback how hot his wife is.
Listen to this. In 1958, when Larry King was still fairly new to Miami, he got in a little fender bender. While that fact is unremarkable, the other motorist in the accident was Senator John F. Kennedy.
Oh, they went pounding together. In Miami? Summertime?
Well, what do you say?
JFK and King on the scene? Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
JFK and I were once in an Eiffel Tower.
It was 11 a.m. I hit his car, so we drank four rum and cokes and made it happen.
They probably sniffed up all of South Beach. You go there for the white and the sand beaches. You know what I'm talking about?
At the same time, Larry King prides himself on not preparing for shows. He makes minimal preparations for each episode.
Oh, absolutely. He used to be like, so you're in a movie. What is it? Like, that was one of his questions. It rules.
I asked a cat. Here, look at this. In 1995, King told Entertainment Weekly, when I was just starting, I swear to God, I asked a Catholic priest if he had any children and how old they were. Finally, in 2007, Jerry Seinfeld became a bit peeved when King asked if Seinfeld had been canceled.
That's hilarious.
So funny. He didn't care so much. It's awesome.
Because he was too busy making these beautiful, beautiful babies.
He locked lips with Marlon Brando.
I think that's a tale. That's like, who didn't, though? If you were, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Richard Pryor and Brando were an item.
They locked hips, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. If you,
they locked more than lips.
Were they an item or did they bang once?
No, I think they banged once in some sort
I think,
of
I think Marlon
70s
Brando was,
drug dream.
Yeah, was just kind of making the drug rounds at that point.
Sweet car named Desire.
A year later, King told Entertainment Weekly, he's the only man who's ever kissed me on the lips, including family members. I'm a confirmed heterosexual, and I wouldn't have to say that I've been thinking about him ever since.
Are you saying Brando turned out King?
No.
I think it sounds like Brando turned out everybody.
Where did he kiss?
He was like, no, it's not going to happen, Larry. I'm sorry, you have a stiff cadence to your tongue rhythm.
Yeah, I want it to be Apocalypse Now, Brando, who kissed Larry King.
That's how it feels to me, is that it was like Depp. Wheezing weirdo Brando.
Three quarters of his body in the dark.
He was smoking.
Where is your body?
Wherever it happened, he was living.
You're too fat for this movie, correct?
King had a long.
They could only shoot you from the neck up.
King had long, almost surreal interview with Marlon Brando in 1994 that included, among other distractions, Brando forcing King to shake the hand of the actor's mastiff. The interview, which was conducted at Brando's Beverly Hills home, is bizarre on a number of levels, but the most notable part was an agitated Brando kissing King on the mouth. Fast forward to 8:30. for their smooch. You can see this all over YouTube. So
yeah, I'm typing it in right now. Sorry,
that was strange, as I'm a confirmed heterosexual.
Yeah. Okay. So
he says it into the camera, just straight down the pipe.
We can have sex right now if you want to.
So how does King Tut stand a chance?
I mean, honestly, I gotta say. I think King Tut is bringing that nervous teen energy. He's a loose cannon. He doesn't know how to govern very well. He's got too much power.
How dangerous is a teenager that thinks they're God? That's probably bad.
The most, I mean, as we've been proven tragically time and time again, dangerous.
I don't think Tut has the anger. I don't think he has the, like, Larry King survived 50 years in show business. He's tough.
Yeah.
King Tut couldn't be a king for, what, 1 year? And he wimped out?
Here's the thing.
His bones crumbled under the pressure.
The ultimate wimp out, death.
It's true.
How did he die? This is a fact. This is from King Tut Facts, .org.
King Tut died of COVID also.
How did he die? Since the discovery of the king's tomb, theories have abounded about the circumstances of Tutankhamun's death after reigning for only 10 years. So 10-year king.
Okay, that's not bad.
Which means he was killed. Jeez.
So he was a king at 5? Because that changes everything.
Yeah, like super pretty young. Wild.
Well, then now I feel like that I'm Tut's side. He's a boy king.
A boy king.
Like a
king
baby boy.
Boy
king. Like a Tyrese king.
And the empire functioned. Like they were building pyramids and stuff. And King Tut at 5 years old is just like, yes, I am overseeing this. I'm 5.
Yeah, it says that he ascended the throne at around the age of 8.
Mm.
But that's like all advisors
and then
shit.
And then promptly married his sister.
He was... Okay, so we know he's a risk taker. That's kind of what you want in a fight, right?
Fortune favors the bold. Yeah, I guess so.
Exactly. He sees what he wants and he takes it, regardless of propriety.
Yeah, he might see Larry's hot sister and make an inappropriate comment, and Larry's like, "What?" And then now all of a sudden he's the loose cannon, ready to make mistakes.
This is difficult.
It is difficult. I'm gonna go ahead and say,
I also don't know if I've ever seen Larry King stand up.
That is true, and that key, true. When I imagine him in my mind, he
I saw
is,
him.
In,
I saw him in the airport,
MODOK style, in like kind of a tech throne for this fight.
I saw Larry King in the airport once, and I forgot that I watched a weirdo try to go get an autograph from him, and then get mobbed by security and be like,
"Oh,
it was like TSA was like, you can't talk to Larry King." And TSA's it seemed right because the guy was too touchy. Yeah.
Listen to this. The hypothesis of how King Tut died. Hypothesis of murder has been eliminated. Recent scans of the king's mummy have revealed no trace of a fatal blow as suggested. Given his young age, around 18 to 19 years old, his death may have resulted from an accident and or an illness. A study of the mummy carried out in 2010 by a team of researchers directed by Zahi Hawass. You guys know that guy?
Yeah.
Revealed in particular an open fracture of the femur, as well as the fact that he undoubtedly had malaria and a mild club foot. Although it is difficult.
And he was still able to lock his sister down?
Yeah. Smooth dude. It's difficult to establish the exact causes of
up in the club foot. That's what he called it.
It must be assumed that there was a combination of factors. A fragile constitution, a serious fracture, and malaria. So he's not, again, he's not a well person, but I think that after this many years, Tut's coming with that mummy energy. I think he's bringing down curses. I'm locking in a vote. One vote, at least, for King Tut. I think King Tut takes the lightweight round.
Okay, I'm going to go in opposition because
who handles
giant God-sized egos better than Larry King? Yeah. He turned Marlon Brando's into a kiss.
That's true.
Larry King knows how to get to his soul because he deals with megalomaniacs all the time.
That's kind
of
what I think.
And I think he just gets him in a Larry King's one of those guys that's from like Stickball, New York, right? Yeah. Like he's like he's from like an old kind of New York that doesn't exist. I think he wallops him with a frying pan or something.
Yeah, type of guy who eats a lot of chipwiches.
Yeah.
yeah.
A lot of stuff out of a cart. Yeah, shit. And David, go ahead, lock your vote in. You know, already said.
LK all day.
LK, just, Larry King.
He's a bull. The man was around forever. He's virile. You know what I mean? King Tut.
Man, hard to fight that virility.
If he wanted to.
Yeah.
Larry King's dating King Tut's sister.
Yeah. I think
Leanne Tut.
This is my newest wife, Leanne Tut. She's 24 somehow.
Tanya Tut.
I suppose now is a good time to tell you, Tutankhamun, that I'm dating your sister.
And maybe that's what throws him off.
Yeah. And then as soon as he's off, he hits him with the stick ball.
Hits him with the stick ball. Like we used to do it. This is how we did it in the neighborhood. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gives him one in the temple and his fragile constitution. You know, this guy's already a bag of jelly. He's full of malaria.
Mm-hmm. Can't move.
Okay, ding. Ding, ding, ding. Larry King takes it. David Bory, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
To stick the landing on bald, you have to stick the landing on being like shredded. You can't stick the landing on bald and be like a portly fella. You look like one of the Stooges. You know which one.
You have to be like, the hot bald one.
the fuckable guy.
Remember how there's two goofy Stooges and then there was one like super hot British one who was always kicking people's fucking heads off and shit.
I'm curly, innit?
Did you know there were ultimately six Stooges?
Who were the other three?
I'm only aware of four.
There was Shemp.
Shemp, I know Shemp.
Shemp, who's great. There was a guy named Curly Joe.
Who is that different from Curly? Did they at one point have Curly and Curly Joe?
No, because both. So Curly died, sadly, tragically. Shemp came back in. Shemp was an actual brother to the Stooges. And then the production company were like, Shemp's dead now from being, you know, 45 in the 30s or whatever. And
that was the leading cause of death was being over 50 for like a long time.
Yeah. And then the studio gave them this guy, Joe Derita, who just, they called him Curly Joe Derita to kind of link him in, and he sucked. They like hated him. He was like a total narc, and like would be like, I'm not taking a pie in the face. What kind of a respecting actor takes pie in the face? And then they got rid of him. And then
I love the idea of someone joining the Three Stooges and being like, what is this? I'm an adult man. Why would you poke me in the eyes?
I thought we were gonna guard this museum, this pterodactyl flag. I thought we were gonna take it seriously. Yeah. Now come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, and the last guy was named maybe that was Curly Joe. I don't know. There was a couple of Joes, and one of them was a nice fella who like toured with them in the end days. But I digress. We're not fighting Stooges today. Haven't we seen enough of that? Haven't we seen enough Stooge on Stooge violence? They're always slapping each other around out there. We are here to partake in the middleweight bout of Kings for our 100th episode with local queen, writer for Stephen Colbert, my girlfriend and yours, Nicole Coughlin, everybody.
Hi, everybody. It's me, your girlfriend.
Fight Island fave.
That's why we have listeners.
Returning Fight Island fave. Thank you so much for dipping in.
Thanks so much for setting me up in literally 30 feet away from where you're sitting in our living room.
It's okay. You're using the setup that I used to use. So,
yeah, before you got the profesh setup.
Yeah.
Sam, you don't know this, but one of the reasons that Jordan and I couldn't just record in the same room is that we we only have one chair that is a normal height in our apartment. Oh. All the other ones are like bar stool height, or there's like a gaming chair that's like on the floor.
That's insane. I've never noticed that, and you're absolutely correct.
Yeah, that, I could have moved like the spin bike in there, but that seemed weird.
That's very funny. I thought it's because you couldn't go in Jordan's recording room because you're not a virgin.
Get out! I'm setting up LEDs.
It'd be very funny if you zoomed out and there was a microphone there for Nicole, but it's just there's too many Legos there and you can't sit.
It's not Legos. The floor in there is just strewn with empty Topo Chico bottles.
Much Topo Chico.
Up to our knees.
If there is going to be, like, I think that, like...
you traded your other chair for him. You just had a bunch of Topo Chicos.
Like, 20 years down the line, they're going to be like, oh, there's this Topo Chico-specific disease, and this one...
Oh, they, like, that. You should do some Googling, Jordan, because they did come out with Topo Chico's the one sparkling water that has, like, a thing you're not supposed to have.
Yeah, well, I mean, that thing is about, like, it'll, like, grind your teeth down, and I give a fuck about that.
Your teeth are already smooth and flat.
Yeah.
Oh, as long as we're talking about Jordan's teeth, I feel like I should let the listeners know that the other day I caught him cleaning plaque off his teeth with a screwdriver.
Caught nothing. I bragged about it. I crossed the
and I was like, you need to go to the dentist. And he was like, why? I have this screwdriver and I can do it. And I was like, now you really need to go to the
dentist. I think I've proven that you don't need to go to the dentist. You can do it right at home, folks.
Oh, my God.
100 episodes in, we get a new fact about Jordan that's fun that we get for 100 more episodes.
I crossed a level. I'm a survivor now.
That's how like Oscar the Grouch works on his teeth. That is insane.
He wishes. He probably has a plover bird or something, some lesser Muppet.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Clean. Yeah, that's what happened to Telly. Is he just his chain?
Telly does have big dentist energy, just for the record.
Yes. Yeah. It's like, oh,
there's
that guy's
a guy
on the edge.
In
Don't
the
push
show
him.
Named Dr. Teeth.
Who specifically has pretty bad teeth.
I think it's just the last name. I don't think he's a dentist of any kind.
I think if your last name is Teeth, you gotta be a dentist.
I think that's a stigma that we're moving away from, and I couldn't be happier. And he's one of the last Muppets I would want messing around with my teeth. I'd be like, you look like the type of Muppet who steals teeth. You have too many of them to have come here for these to all be your own, frankly. Anyway, if we're all done dunking on me, we'll go ahead and move into the middleweight fight, which is Kings. And this is going
to
be...
Jordan, I hate to interrupt you, but I need to go close the door to the bedroom because I can hear your voice coming through the
bedroom.
We can't
hear it on the microphone, but now that you've said something, you should go and do it.
I'm going to do it. It's not a microphone thing. It's more of a I can't focus thing.
We're going to dunk on Nicole while she's gone.
Hey.
Never mind.
The door to the bedroom is already closed, so this is as good as it gets.
Let's take aim.
She goes to the dentist like an idiot. I'm Nicole. I love the dentist. Oh, fuck. She's back.
Sam, I gotta say, I really feel like you would have been on board with this. You know, you of all people would.
Don't
be like,
put. He didn't wash it or anything. It was just stuck it in his mouth.
That's a fiction. I washed it and I burnt it with a lighter.
My opposition to it is not that it's a screwdriver. It's that seems like a bad tool for that. I would use something equally stupid. I just think screwdriver's too harsh.
We'll talk after this.
Okay.
Who are you guys? Is
we were some gangs.
Should be noted, like a little like computer screwdriver, so I could really get in there. And,
I genuinely thought it was like a big Phillips head.
Make my gums bleed. Who are some kings? Who are some kings who also practice home dentistry?
the middleweight king, I think that comes to mind. Who I guarantee did some home medical type shit is Elvis. Elvis was definitely like picking his teeth with stuff. He was inventing things.
He was for sure self-prescribing some shit, and I wouldn't be surprised if the king shot off a skin tag or two.
Yeah, he definitely used a gun to clip his fingernails somehow.
Now there's a number of athletes who have been the king. Mm-hmm. I would say most notably LeBron James. Mm-hmm. I feel like LeBron James versus Elvis is not a super fair fight.
That does feel like an absolute ass whooping. There's no.
Yeah, Elvis is pretty strong. I think Muhammad Ali, he was the king, wasn't he?
Well, sure, but I think Muhammad Ali's against Elvis is an even less fair fight.
Maybe it could be Muhammad Ali against
Muhammad Ali was never nicknamed the king, though. LeBron James is literally nicknamed King James.
Fair.
What about BB King?
Oh, versus Elvis? Now we're
bit of a musician brawl.
Now we could do Elvis versus Billie Jean King.
Oh shit! I love that.
Wow,
that feels like
another battle of the sexes.
Yeah,
yeah,
so good.
Yeah,
that's so.
Now here's the thing: I don't know anything about Billie Jean King other than
me neither.
She was good at tennis and pretty reserved.
Hang on, let's see what Facts for Kids has about Billie Jean King.
Billie Jean King Facts for Kids. Does Facts for Kids go like? Do they have like Pol Pot facts for kids?
Yeah, yeah. They seem to be the first hit for when you put in celebrity plus facts. Facts for Kids is always in the first five. Oh wow! Oh wow! Oh shit! Facts for Kids went deep on. Fucking all right. Billie Jean King grew up poor. It was hard for her parents to support her. Her father was an engineer for a fire department. Her mother was a housekeeper. Her father had two jobs.
Bit of a poke salad, Annie.
Yeah, it doesn't say what his second job was, so I guess also engineer. It's two different kinds of engineer.
In the 50s, you had to be an engineer and an engineer to get by.
What's your job? I'm two engineers. King was interested in fighting for the rights of women in tennis. When she was 17 years old, King played doubles in Wimbledon. She and her partner, Karen Hontz, won the match. They became the youngest women players to win that match at Wimbledon. Even though she won this competition, she didn't want to focus on tennis completely. She's famous for winning a competition called the Battle of the Sexes against Bobby Riggs in 1973. This is one of the first tennis matches when a man played against a woman. Winning this match really helped her speak about sexism. She used tennis and the Battle of the Sexes to prove that women are as good at sports as men.
That's a fact for kids.
Just as good as sports as men, the people who are best at sports.
It's very funny that they took like the best women's tennis player against some fat guy. Like imagine Venus Williams, like Serena Williams playing against like just a fat guy they found who used to play tennis.
Well, he was like kind of like he was like an outspoken like asshole, right? He like said some bullshit and was like, I can beat any woman on the court. And she was like, well, all right, fuck face.
Yeah.
We got Serena Williams to play tennis against Lou Dobbs. What? Why did we do that?
Lou Dobbs burst into ash the second the sun touched him.
Weird battle of the sexes.
I like Billie Jean King versus Elvis. Do we feel confident about this? I feel like we got to flesh out the corners so we're not missing any middleweight kings here. I mean,
now you know before when you first told me you were doing kings, you know I suggested chicken a la.
Also, but, burger.
Yeah,
and chicken a la, as in like. A man made of chicken a la king?
I don't know. That was what we would figure out during the fight.
Versus Burger King? Oh, wow. See,
Burger King,
like that.
Burger King versus Elvis. I think Burger King won. I think that was already a fight.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Burger King won that fight.
Boy, the Whoops. Burger King seems pretty good. Nah, I like it. Billie Jean King
versus
Elvis Presley, the king, as it were. Question before us, who would win in a fight between Billie Jean King and Elvis Presley?
Now, are we, what era Elvis are we in?
I think we got to go when he was the king. You know, not quite.
White jumpsuit era.
Yeah, not quite dead on the toilet seat, but he's discovered.
But well out of his way.
He's discovered Vicodin and he's learning karate.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Well, that's also Billie Jean King's era too. So it's like the early 70s, I think, is perfect for those guys.
Let's see what Elvis facts for kids.
Elvis facts for kids.
I don't mean to do this. It's literally I put Elvis facts into Google's.
Hey, sometimes you're a kid and you want to know who barbiturates have killed.
Here's some. I'm doing a school project on barbiturates.
okay, I have bad parents. Hi.
Number one, this is a fascinating 7 fascinating facts about Elvis from history.com. No, I don't want your fucking newsletter. Okay. One. Holy shit. Elvis had a twin.
Did he absorb, and that's why he's good at singing?
On January 8th, 1935, Elvis Aaron, later spelled Aaron, if you can believe it, Presley was born at his parents' two-room house in East Tupelo, Mississippi, about 35 minutes after his identical twin brother, Jesse Garen Presley, who was stillborn.
That's not a fact for kids, Jordan.
I said this one's from history.com. They get real with it. Elvis spoke of his twin throughout his life, grew up an only child in a poor family. Boy, could you imagine? What if his double had been like even more Elviser than him?
We'd have Super Elvis, but we didn't even know.
Or what if his double had survived and like turned out to be a real nerd?
a reverse Stefan Urkel?
No, I'm Revelvis.
Chelvis? Oh, that's not a good life.
Number two, Elvis bought Graceland when he was 22. $102,000. Can you believe
Have
it?
You guys been to Graceland?
Every year, man. Christmas Eve. No.
It's fun just for the decor. You walk through and you're like, yeah this is what a weird, weird rich man thought was cool in the 70s.
I feel like, have you been, Nicole?
No.
No. It feels like I too haven't been, but it feels like what I imagine walking inside of a cake would feel like, you know?
Yeah, kind of.
Everything's kind of frosted, covered in sparkles.
Well, it is very funny to be like, this was the nicest thing at the time, and the jungle room is just like a green room with a lot of carpet and like a shitty TV, and that was like the absolute height of luxury. Yeah,
that's all you need.
Kind of stinks.
I want to see the karate room, but it doesn't exist.
There's like a cage with a monkey skeleton in it.
Yeah, that's what I wanted. I wanted the piranha tank.
Now, smart money in this fight says that Billie Jean King, again, you know, she's an athlete, and the King is you know, he's juggling a heart attack in one hand and a hot dog in the other, baby. You
know? But he does kind of maybe know how to do karate against air.
But and he also seems like maybe he's seen how he dies, and this ain't it.
Sure.
The only way I'm going out is on the toilet. You better fight me on the toilet if you want me to die.
Oh, wow. What if she does?
Fights him on the toilet?
Or what if she like hits him with a tennis ball so hard in the butt? But he's like, and stumbles back through like the men's room and like onto the toilet. He's like, oh no, my vision.
Sure. I mean, I feel like he's got like, okay, let's talk about weapons at each of their disposal. Obviously, Billie Jean King has the tennis racket and tennis balls. But Elvis, you'll remember, first of all, Elvis Brott is the only man who successfully brought a gun into the White House. That's like weird fact I know about Elvis. He also has guitars. I'm sure he has some sort of pyrotechnic ability.
He shot his TV kind of a lot.
Yeah. Not
Did he?
Doubt not a doubt in my mind that Elvis is coming to this thing strapped. Yeah. For sure.
But does the island equalize it?
Yeah. Yeah. To a certain degree. I think that Billie Jean King, honestly, when she gets to the island, like her fighting energies are enhanced as such, like it recognizes her as an important victor from history, that now she's got like a 70s terry cloth Wonder Woman bandana.
Okay.
And she can like return bullets if you shoot them at her.
I think she can. I think her serve is a gunshot.
True. Okay. True. Okay.
Like it's that, but it is still a tennis ball, not a bullet. That's the trade off.
But I mean, if it's a gunshot, if a tennis ball traveling at the speed of a gun, I don't know if they've done it on Myth Hunters, but
traveling at the speed of gun on the next Myth Hunters.
Speed of gun. I feel like that's a cannonball, baby. That's, yeah. You catch one of those in the chest, but again, the king, Elvis Presley, one of his main things, especially in the king era, quote unquote, was those moves.
Mm-hmm. He was live, yeah.
You know, you can't catch me with a cannonball. Come on.
He could dodge stuff Matrix style.
Totally with like, yeah. With like cheesy karate moves that he's making up, you know?
Yeah, and if we're that really that peak Elvis time, he is kind of a he is very like aware. Like if you watch any like Elvis like concert movies or anything, he's like very aware of his surroundings. He's like very in control.
Now,
like that bodes well.
Let's talk weaknesses here.
Okay,
I think weaknesses. Billie Jean, she can be goaded, as it has been.
Evidence, yes.
You know? Provoked.
Yes. Elvis could be like, oh, I'll bet you can't do more barbiturates than me. And then she's like, I'll bet I can. And
that's his thing, that women weren't as good at doing barbiturates.
Yeah. I can take more barbiturates than any woman in alive. Did you just say woman in? Yes, I did.
Again, the dress.
Now, I think obviously Elvis's weaknesses are the barbiturates. he put on some weight. He's not as fast as he used to be. I think his dodging's not as agile as it was at the peak of his career.
More luck than anything, you know, kind of a drunken master situation.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
He's like, oh, is that a cheeseburger? And he ducks down to get it. And like a ball whizzes over his head.
Yeah.
And also, another weakness, peanut butter and banana sandwich, as we know. Oh, wait, was it a peanut butter bacon?
Bacon. Peanut butter jelly with bacon, yeah. Ooh, and it was
on, like, I thought it was peanut butter bacon banana.
Damn! Elvis. The king of sandwiches.
Mm-hmm. Billie Jean King is still alive. I think that's a big thing for her, is that she...
That's working in her favor. Yeah.
Well, I do think she is she could be provoked, but was relatively restrained. You know, she was a pro athlete. She had a long career.
And
she knew restraint. Elvis never stopped himself from doing anything.
Yeah, and it's true.
I want to marry a high schooler. Like, yeah, okay, man.
Wait, sure. I want to marry Calvin Coolidge's boat. $55,000. By the way, it was Franklin Roosevelt's boat, the Potomac. $55,000 he paid for it, apparently.
That is nothing for FDR's boat.
Yeah, 165-foot-long vessel. It doesn't say anything on here about the sandwich. It says he was burned in effigy after his appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show. And it also says that he never performed outside of North America.
Huh. That seems odd, but also, like, Elvis is, like, a uniquely American-feeling thing.
And also... It's like,
he shows up in Scotland. You're like, what? Why? We don't need this.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, it's not like Billie Jean King was a hothead. You know, it's not like he could say anything that's going to set her off. If she doesn't have a point to prove, then she's probably not going to misstep. And I also see her having, like, do you remember? Sam, I know you don't, but Nicole, do you remember Pro Stars, the cartoon from the 90s with Bo Jackson and Wayne Gretzky and Michael Jordan? And they had kind of like Michael Jordan had like trick basketballs he could shoot. Like one would be like an ice ball or a fireball, probably.
Ooh, okay, so we're saying that Billie Jean King has powers.
Bingo. I'm saying 80s cartoon Pro Star powers. Not necessarily powers, but definitely trick balls. Like she can like hit a tennis ball, and he's like, "Yeah, dodged it," and she's like, "Ah," and then it explodes with like snakes or whatever.
Okay, I like that.
I think I'm ready to vote.
Okay,
and it's kind of a lame-o reasoning, I think. But okay. You guys will have plenty for pushback. Billie Jean King is a king because it's her last name. Mm. Elvis earned the title.
Oof. Honestly, Sam, that's a good argument.
Ugh, it's pedantic, and I don't love it. But
king by name, not by deed.
It's one of those where you end up the deciding factor being the who is the most the category.
Wow.
Billie Jean King had a lot of fans and was very important. People think Elvis is still fucking alive. Like, Like that really is like monarchy type shit.
Yeah,
that's King Tut. That's assuming they're higher than human.
Gene King is still alive.
Yeah, that's true. I'm saying it's a strong argument that she's still kicking at 87. But I'm voting Elvis because I think he's better at kinging.
Okay.
All right. I'm gonna go BJK just because I think if we're talking these people in their primes, this is a scrap. You know, this is a throwdown, and I think you know he's got some moves, but this ain't Madison Square Garden. You know, we're not doing a show here. We're fighting. We're throwing down, and I think you need somebody with the skills to pay the bills. And I think that's Billie Jean.
Okay, this is going to be controversial. I don't know if it breaks the rules of Fight Island, but I think at the last second, Billie Jean is saved by her in real life, close friend, Elton John, who wrote the song Philadelphia Freedom in her honor. Elton John, who is who has all of Elvis's showmanship, but much better songs, in my opinion. I think it's close, and then I think at the last second, Elton John comes in with even more sequins and pizzazz than Elvis, and blinds Elvis, and then Elvis has a heart attack.
It's like nothing he's ever seen before.
Yeah,
you know, God save the queen. He says.
Elton John kind of is a mashup between Elvis and Billie Jean King. I do think that's kind of
really
that kind
sort
of fits.
Right,
same haircut,
middle, you know?
Same kind of glasses. Yeah.
Wow. What an upset. Honestly, I'm gonna have to say that the island demands justice. So there must be one winner. And yes, you're right. Elton John does show up, a previous champion of the island. Playing his motorized guitar with which or his motorized piano with which he defeated Billy Joel.
Yeah.
And blasts in here and goes, God save the queen. And all of his sequins flash at once. And when the glitz and glamour settles, he's accidentally vaporized everyone.
Yeah.
John is your middleweight king, parentheses queen.
Yeah, we turned kings into queens for the middleweight bout.
Great.
I do like the logic of it because like Billie Jean King did have a foray into music, and that was Philadelphia Freedom, where Elvis never playing tennis. You can't shoot a tennis ball.
I mean, he must have hit a tennis ball at some point.
Hated it.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't care for it.
I've seen these. Oh yeah, I woke up on one of these one time. Yeah, holy moly, good one. Who knew? Out of nowhere.
Who knew that Elton John would win the battle?
In the wings. Who knew? Who had money on Elton John?
Not me.
I do think he's sad about it, you know? He's like, BJK, sorry, love. Oh, Philadelphia Freedom. And then blasts out of there.
Crazy. That's correct.
Nicole, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, guys, thank you so much for having me.
The middleweight bout. We're going to move
on. Nicole Conlon, one of the Fight Island guest Mount Rushmore heads.
Hey!
Mount Rushmore
heads.
For sure.
Which one am I?
Teddy Roosevelt.
Slaves. Okay, great. I'll take Teddy Roosevelt.
I think that
the one with the mustache.
That is also me in the context of this Zoom room, I think.
The one who refused to bait bears, just like you. All right, let's go do the heavyweight fight.
Somebody told me about Billy Corgan, working with Billy Corgan in the studio, how he would would listen to the female guitarist in the band, and then she would go home after recording a day full of tracks and be like, "Well, we're changing all of that. We're re-recording all of that." And then he would go and do the exact same performance, the exact same one. And
crazy.
I was like, okay, well, maybe this is just an attitude thing where we could
maybe this is within you. This is within your power to change, Billy.
Now I'm looking in the mirror complaining about my teammate where I'm like, well, maybe I should just let my team be my team. I select
Billy.
People, so.
Billy, maybe you should stop smashing so many pumpkins all the time.
Halloween!
Billy, it's not gonna, work this time. I want you to try carving a pumpkin, huh? How about that?
Jack-o'-lanterns are fun,
yeah,
but they rot way too quickly, and now they're rotten.
The squirrels get them. That's our problem.
Hey,
that's
Billy. Billy, do you think you're smashing them because you're not as good at carving them as everybody else? Is that something we want to address?
My knife's broken. I need a better. It's the knife's fault.
My knife. My knife. Okay, we are recording. Does everybody see the little? Does everybody see waveforms?
Jordan, do you see waveforms?
I see waveforms.
Okay. I see waveforms on my track and not on y'all's tracks.
Great, that's fine. Sam, works. You too?
Mm-hmm. Yep, we're good.
Great. We're doing it. I bring this up because, boy, I had a big audio gaffe today. And not the kind who gets to hold the big, silly microphones.
What'd you do?
Is that a gaffer? No, a gaffer.
Gaffer
is the guy that keeps the guy having a boner.
It's true. I mean, that's why they called Samwise Gamgee the gaffer.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's dependent on the gaffer. Whoop, woo. Okay.
Gaffers work in electrical, Sam, if you do want to know. They help with cords and plugging things in. Okay, very good.
They got tape. They use the tape, right? The tape is named after that.
I mean, everybody uses the tape, but it's the best tape that's ever existed. I mean, mm-hmm. I could go on and on and on about the gaff tape. I mean,
what is the best tape?
It's gaff tape because it goes on permanent and comes up clean. It leaves no residue. It's very expensive.
Maybe it's good that we lost our last track if we're doing tape talk.
Tape talk, production tape talk, and production equipment.
Duct tape has been on the top of the heap for too long, I'm saying. Something needs to come along.
I'm just saying, it's like I would have a good night at Rod Stewart Live if two things would happen. If my set and performance was good and fun, mm-hmm. and two, if nobody tripped. I mean, like, there were never reports from bartenders saying I tripped over a cord or anything like that. You see that shit happen at other people's mics and shows. Yeah. You see somebody trip over a cord, and it's like, well, that could be an insurance thing.
Because you guys had, your gaffing was on point.
Because I would get there, and I'd get on my feet, and I'd shove my low-rise jean ass into people's faces as they were talking. Oh, I saw Ezra Koenig at the Beechwood Canyon Farmers Market or something.
Why don't you guys, the three of you, host Rod Stewart Live, and then you guys hire like a weird 65-year-old gaffer from the union.
I would really love funny. That. That'd be super funny.
A shredded out Ayatsi guy with a gray ponytail and like one eye.
Yeah.
He's like, I mean, they said we were up in Big Bear. And they said I need to get down here and work this job real quick. And I came down and I said 750 flat rate. And Kamala. I mean, she's a Nazi. Kamala's a Nazi. I mean,
right? Yeah.
One of those. No, one
could
of
you
those.
Just, could you just what, do the gaffing, maybe?
One of those old guys with like a skinny body, but then like forearms like jet engines. You're like, sure. Jesus Christ.
This is going to make no sense probably to anyone listening to this podcast, but you know a guy's going to be a great crew guy when you're driving to set at 4 a.m, you're driving to Agua Dulce or whatever, and then some asshole in like a Bronco that's lifted like 3 times its height with like a really long antenna with like a raccoon tail behind it, uh-huh. and
absolutely.
Like a novelty plate that says like keep Tahoe red or something like that.
Yeah.
And he's like whipping around you and shit, and then he's the guy who's in front of you, you know, checking in when you finally get
sure,
to the crew parking.
Naturally, he's the but he's the best fucking gaffer in the biz, you know.
He's the best. Hey, this gun was supposed to be purple, and it's like purple in 2 seconds, and he hands it to the guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's something people with actual skills, they like have to harden extra to be around all the show business weirdos and perverts. Yeah. They have to be like, all right, I'm exceptionally like hardened and weird because like I have to deal with fucking Kristen Stewart screaming at me every 10 seconds.
Well, yeah. I mean, they do deal with the worst liberalism has to mm-hmm. offer. So yeah. I don't blame them. I did see my first like January 6th t-shirt, not a literal January 6th t-shirt, but like the new thing that I've noticed is the silhouette of the Spartan helmet with Roman writing.
Oh no!
There's like a new. God. It's just a gun rights thing. It's just a come and take it thing. It's nothing new. But that's the new style that the. And it feels very, it feels Breitbart-y, Bannon-esque, white ethno state a little bit, but it's not. It's just, I deserve to have weapons in fucking from the King Leonidas.
So that if you ever get summoned to fight Island, you can slash back, you know?
I mean, weapons are cool. I can't. I mean, that's why I don't care. That's what I don't
care. Andrew Breitbart's weapon of choice was alcohol, and he used it against himself.
Yeah, those the dudes in the media. There's conservatives, and then there's conservative media, and the dudes in the media are just pussy willows. And even Drew Yonda, his like showrunner dude, who was like, I'd like to see Black Lives Matter come up here during the riots. He was holding some giant assault weapon. It was an airsoft gun. It wasn't a real gun. I was like, dude,
could you imagine
real guns? You're
them
bitch.
Showing up, and he's like, all right, I'm glad you're here. I bought a bunch of airsoft guns. These are the rules. These are teams. Okay, we got a paintball range in the back. We're going to settle this once and for all.
I found out a recent fun fact from my mom. We have a family friend who lives in that St. Louis development with the two stupid, with the gun couple, the little fat guy and the blonde lady. And this family friend was saying, they're farther away from the protesters than even the pictures look like. Like, that's like another, the other crazy part is like, there's so much, that driveway's so long, and a lot of the pictures made it look like they were like vaguely right close. It's like they're so far away too for that couple to be like, my gun.
That whole scenario definitely reeked of like, why don't we move this from yelling at the TV to the front lawn?
Oh, it so was there. Those, I mean, it turns out those people are lame.
Who knew?
Yeah, I thought they're really cool and punk rock, and they
anyway, the classic transition of Radio Land, podcast land, who knows? It's Wild West out here.
This transition is like transitioning from toilet paper to sandpaper.
We're 8 minutes in. We'll probably start this section around 7. We'll see what we got so far.
Start it now. Fuck it.
It's the 100th episode. We're getting all the trash that we usually put in the podcast should be included.
We're clearing the spit valve on the old fightsophone.
Ew.
Yeah, it's pretty gross in there.
I played a cornet in middle school to get out of PE, and I tried the spit valve.
I tried to play the saxophone, and the band leader, Mr. Sheehy, was like, I don't think so. And named like a bunch of fat kid instruments I could play. It's like, you could play a great big drum or the tuba.
They embarrass fat kids with tubas. They go, hey, why don't you, you can only play the thing that makes it when you say it, you look fatter. Tuba.
Tuba, yeah. We're not here to talk about tubas or although honestly a fight between the brass instruments would be pretty fun. We're here to do the heavyweight bout of the 100th episode extravaganza, Heavyweight Kings, with your pal, friend of the pod, friend of your god, James Austin Johnson is here.
Hey everybody listening to Fight Club, Fight Island. Hey everybody listening to Fight Island, it's your favorite Fight Islander.
What the fighters?
James Austin Johnson.
Hey, fighterinos.
What's up, what the fightanistas?
When you get to 100 episodes, you get to use Marinisms. That's what's fun, I think.
That's
Marin,
true.
Marin
so, James, who are your guys when it comes to fighting?
Marin, Garofalo, Michael Rapaport, you know, let's see.
Anyone in Gen X.
Gene Simmons
is an excellent fighter.
Is Lululemon a person?
Not in real life, obviously. Lululemon I think of as kind of like a fashion fairy who like just blesses malls with a store overnight, you know?
Yeah, of course, but I would have been able to really answer the question, who are your guys? I would have been really able to answer that in freshman year of college, and they would have been sort of like a list of about a dozen performers of not color who who were all kind of shades of the same thing.
Sure.
Which is guys who talk too much. And I would have been able to really just be like, yeah, hell yeah, Tarantino, Tom Waits, Stephen King, you know, all of that
Stephen
stuff.
King. He's a king, technically. Mitch, I don't know if he's a, I don't know if he's a heavyweight king. He does show up on the pod, though. He does manage to, like weasel his way into almost every category.
We talk about him constantly.
When Tabitha lets me write another 2,000-page novel, I go up to the top of the barn and put on something really rocking, like the Jayhawks or Shooter Jennings. Something really bitching to get the juices flowing. Writing horror is all about keeping the gators fed.
It's a bummer. It's a bummer how much I love both of those bands. That sounds like a great way to write some horror.
Other people write the literary equivalent of a steak dinner with palm frites. No. But Stephen King, I write a Big Mac with fries. It's not true, quite though. Stanley. It's almost Stanley, but he's like, he's not as, he probably hasn't lived as much of a life as Stanley. He's done more drugs, but I don't think he's like.
He did drugs alone. Stanley did drugs in a cool way with other
people.
We've
seen Stephen King die on the island so many times, really? And he just keeps coming back. Hi, guys, it's me again. God, Stephen! Ah, you thought you killed me. Wrong again.
Hmm. Stan Lee died many times on
honestly, I don't think Stan Lee has been on the island.
I'm Stan Lee, creator until of now. Spider-Man, the Incredible Hulk, the Fantastic Four. Whoa, look at the sky. I think it's probably an Avengers fight.
Stanley always sounds like he just finished or needs to go eat breakfast.
Yeah, there is a bit of a like just about to burp about him.
Well, that was a delicious 19 egg omelet. Wow, Thor is running across the street.
The Hulk.
Hell. All right,
Excelsior.
Who are your heavyweight kings? Do you think Stephen King is a heavyweight? I don't think so.
No,
I don't
feather.
Think, I don't think. Yeah, no. At least I honestly I think
a
of him as kind of like
featherweight.
I think of him as kind of like a celebrity judge at these things at this point.
Yeah, I would love him on him as a celebrity judge on America's Got Talent or American Idol. Him sitting next to like Katy Perry and Lionel Richie would be really funny.
Just as like, did you guys come together? What is this?
There's nothing like having an ice cold Coca-Cola and listen to a beautiful black woman sing runs.
I forgot how to do the Stephen King voice, but he's very ignorant of other cultures. Anytime he writes a black character, it's a lot of patois and
no, that
honky mafa.
Yeah. It's always like the son from Sanford and Son, or like. Someone has a dashiki on, and he wrote it in. Yeah. It's bad.
His name was Dummy, I think.
heavyweights. Is there like a category for the fight today, or is it just heavyweights?
Kings.
Heavyweight kings.
Oh, literal kings.
Literal kings.
But kind these of king, be, king however you
be,
feel.
These can be kings of old. These
so
can be
Stephen
people
king.
Named king. These can
Stephen
be.
Stephen King could be a king. That could be the
absolutely.
Kings of Leon, the drummer
the kings
of the Kings
of
Leon.
Leon. Sure. He is technically a king. I don't know if he's a heavyweight king.
Jordan and I had bandied this about a little bit. King Kong, that's a big time king. That's a 100th episode of
Huge
Fight
king.
Island king.
Huge king. Main king, I would say King of the Apes. Although, is Tarzan king? Tarzan's kind of king. You know what? The lion is the king of the jungle.
I thought you were going to say king of the Jews.
Yeah, I was going to say Jesus Christ, man.
Jesus Christ, King of the King of
Christ,
Kings.
King of Kings.
Is there a more even fight than King Kong versus Jesus Christ?
King Kong, that feels like the ultimate pay-per-view, honestly.
I feel like we just designed sort of a cool shirt from 2006.
Yeah.
King Kong versus Jesus Christ. Like
we really Spencer's the shit out of it.
We really did. Who would win in a fight? This was a real show in 2003. Who would win in a fight? Vikings or ninjas?
Stay tuned.
And now it's every phone game.
I think, first of all, I think obviously Vikings.
Probably.
I think Vikings, like, wouldn't put up with it.
I remember trying to get into, like, alt music and listening to the college radio station in Nashville as, like, a high schooler. And there, the two, like, 19-year-olds on the who were, you know, ancient to me at 15, were being like, who do you think, like, would... Do you think robots versus ninjas? Who do you think would?
What would you guys do during a zombie apocalypse? What's your zombie? What's your Zed plan?
Yeah, where do you go?
Also, now I'm thinking about it. I think ninjas sweep Vikings. I don't think Vikings. I don't think Vikings are expecting it. That's the whole thing about ninjas is that, you know, they're unconventional.
I think a bunch of Bunraku performers doing big stick puppets and in black leotards would be sure. The ninjas. I mean.
Anyway, I'm gonna go play a card game called "Police versus the Mafia Naked" or something like that.
I really do like King Kong versus Jesus. It feels like I don't want to miss any heavyweight kings.
I can do King Kong versus Jesus. Jesus is certainly a heavyweight. I mean, that the cross adds 300 pounds.
Doesn't it though? Doesn't it?
And that's the kind of humor you can expect on.
Oh man, this guy was probably, you know, Mediterranean, he's 5 feet tall, he's probably only weighs like 150 pounds, you know, soaking wet, but add the sins of all mankind, past, present, and future, so much so that he sinks to hell and lives in hell for 3 days before rising again.
Is that what happened?
That's not in every chant that every church does, but it was sure was in the one that I did. It was it was in the Apostles' Creed that we said every
what
Sunday.
What did he do?
A bulletproof Jesus went to hell.
We believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day,
which sounds
he
awesome.
Rose from the grave. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty.
See,
from there he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
See, that feels like a video game pitch. Like, specifically, the 3 days in hell.
Oh, yeah. He descended into heaven. On the third day. There's probably a lot of, like, sermon starter videos. I acted in a lot of these when I was a Christian actor. These sermon starter videos where they get, like, a sketch. It's not funny, but it is the production value and the intention of a sketch. But it's not funny. It's like a fake movie trailer.
I want to be like, very clear.
This summer,
it's not
Job
funny.
Chapter 3.
Yeah, what is it called when a sketch is supposed to evoke not humor? I don't understand what that is a genre of thing.
That is a skunch.
There's no way that's what
that is a scroach. I don't know what it is, but I acted in 900 of them for Lifeway Christian Resources, which is the publishing wing of the Southern Baptist Convention.
What if instead of laughter, you went, I guess. What if that was the whole?
I feel guilty now. Oh, I guess it was weird when I was staring at that 16-year-old's boobies while I was getting coffee and donuts right before this started. I feel bad. I better go to the pew. I better go up to the altar and pray that off.
I was just going to let that go, but now I got to think about it all day. So good.
God told me I got to think about it a lot, that I'm a really bad guy for doing it. Now I'm just going to think about that 17-year-old's boobies. It was bad. Don't do it, Jeffrey. Bad, bad, bad.
But it's all I can think about.
I'm trying to crack a thigh from a leg here at a Cracker Barrel and after church and not tip. And I can't stop thinking about them movies and how bad it is when I think about it.
There they are. There they are again.
Ah!
It's like a Stephen King book. I see
Jesus,
them in every mirror.
Jesus, save me from the psychological torment of getting saved by you.
And then he's
cognitively.
There, and then he appears, but... Here's another problem. He's hot as hell, and he's got that cross. And I do think of the fight, like, I'm imagining Jesus kind of zipping around Green Lantern style, wielding this cross, almost Thor's hammer, against Kong. I'm thinking Kong is gonna. Honestly, guys, I'm thinking Kong's gonna have trouble with this one.
I like Jesus as Green Lantern. And my thought was that Jesus gets real big like a kaiju, but I kind of like I like Superman Jesus.
I kind of like
Jesus.
Yeah, who was the guy King of the Kaiju? Who was the guy who in Super Friends who could get all huge? He was like an Indian guy.
It was an Indian man. I can't remember what his name was.
Chief Giganto or something, vaguely.
Probably something deeply, deeply offensive.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, that's probably better than what it actually was. But yeah. Anyway, he would say something that they probably don't say on TV anymore and grow gigantic. And I think Jesus does the same thing. Like Aramaic.
Yeah.
Or you know, speaks the secret name of God. And
no, he does that run about rainbow. Feeling bad about seeing boobs, and then he gets real big.
Kind of like Ultraman. I like Ultraman Jesus.
Apache Chief.
Yes, exactly.
No, nothing creative. No, like actual naming. Just Apache Chief. Imagine if there was a superhero in like Japan or something named United States American President. You know what I mean? CEO. American CEO. Apache Chief. Leader.
I did think
Illinois Cracker Barrel manager.
Here's the thing. Can Jesus do that? Is that one of his many powers? He's obviously a mutant of great.
Jordan, have you read the Bible?
I don't yet. I mean, I haven't, admittedly, but I haven't even heard about the one where he grew to an enormous height.
Jesus's miracles were big symbols to confirm his deity. So he either healed people, which is he was actually prophesied to do in like Isaiah and shit, is that he will heal the blind and blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
And then, but all the prophecies said he would be a literal, like, flaming wizard from the sky with a blade of fire on a white horse. And he didn't fulfill that, which is why, you know, the Jews do not consider him the Messiah. He didn't fulfill the prophecies.
Sure.
Christians think he's the Messiah because he came as a baby, and he was like, no, he got the prophecies wrong in the Old Testament. Mm. It actually, instead of being a warrior, he was supposed to be a baby. This is God just kind of going back on promises in a cool way that makes a new religion.
The ancient word for baby and warrior are very close. It's been a huge problem for years.
So of Jesus's powers, I mean, we can do it like we could do what's a Into the Spider-Verse style Jesus, where we take all the Jesuses, baby Jesus shaming the Pharisees, actual baby Jesus hanging out with donkeys, 33-year-old Jesus doing anything of note that was worth writing down.
It's a bit of a Jesus like Super Friends. It's the Jesus Club.
Jesus coming out of the tomb soaking wet from hanging out in hell for 3 days covered in sins.
Sort of a John Wick Jesus.
Just dripping with
John
sin.
Wick Jesus. Yeah, with the where he's still got the holes.
Yeah, like, big time.
Black and white noir Jesus.
Oh, yeah, if there was a John Wick Jesus style movie, you know for sure at some point he would like do like a cartwheel and the bullets would go through the holes.
Yeah.
He'd dodge them that way.
Very John Woo. Man, yeah. this fight does have a Spencer's Gifts feel to it.
Well, let's talk about
very
let's 2002 talk about,
fight.
Yeah.
Let's talk about King Kong for a hot second here. Okay. King Kong is the kings, the king of the apes, king of Skull Island, undisputed king of Skull
Island.
The
very embodiment of wildlife and nature. And
absolutely.
A statement that says, man should not encroach upon another's kingdom.
Yeah. Truly. And the most, you know, at its most primal and savage, unbridled fury. And it's like, he's fighting every day on Skull Island. I don't think Jesus has been fighting every day up in heaven. You know, he's not. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think he chose not to pick up that flaming sword. The horse is collecting dust in the garage.
You know, I mean, Jesus was a kind of a political dissident and came up against the nationalist authority and yet was used as a colonizing tool. And King Kong is sort of the ultimate victim of colonization almost,
sure.
Or I wouldn't say ultimate victim, but this is a guy who's taken from his home is taken from him,
sure.
And he's put into this new place and he goes wild because he's acting like it's his home and it's because the guys came and took his home and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So, and it's the same thing that, you know, the Romans did. They had Jesus and they're like, hey, by the way, this is your God. And we killed everybody.
Mm-hmm. And
their deaths
out.
Feel similar. They feel like similar shapes.
Sure. I guess. Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah, Jesus died trying to, you know, kiss a hot blonde chick on on a tower.
Wouldn't it be funny if Jesus got shot off a skyscraper? Jesus
was clinging to the top of the Sears Tower.
Batting down the
whipping
Pharisees.
Lightning bolts at people.
Centurions, yeah.
It is funny. When
in ridiculous old Roman biplanes.
Leonardo da Vinci-esque flying machines.
Absolutely. I think I'm ready to throw out my vote, and here's my reasoning.
Okay.
In a battle of King Kong versus Jesus, I'm going to go with Kaiju Jesus in my head.
Okay, it's Kaiju Jesus.
It's big old Jesus, but he's got various powers. He's turning.
I really do like the idea of him having the cross, but as like a big crazy hammer.
The cross doesn't grow. I think Jesus grows, but the cross stays small.
Interesting.
And
you're right.
It's more like a totem he looks to for.
Or it's like a shiv. Hey, cut it out.
Him in the eye with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Kaiju Jesus. I think that makes it a fair fight, right? Because
yeah, I think it makes it more fair.
I think you're right. Or does it make King Kong in an unfair position? Because truly, what if King Kong was the size of the rest of the gorillas? I mean, he'd still be the king, right? He's King Kong.
He's still like he's still the best gorilla because he's smarter, right? He's just slightly smarter than other apes.
He fights Tyrannosaurus Rex all day.
He's a feeler. He's not a thinker. He's a feeler. And I think Jesus is a thinker over a feeler. Honestly, I don't know that Jesus is all emotion. Yeah. I mean, he never lost his cool. The only time he lost his cool was in the temple when they were with the moneylenders. That's the only time he got emotional, you know?
Yeah. And then he killed all those apes, remember?
You damn dirty ape.
Remember when Jesus lost it and whooped all those gorillas' asses?
You damn dirty apes, credited to Jesus. Jesus Christ.
The Nazarene.
Okay, here's what I think. I think I'm going to say Kong because they're both big. Kong is a gorilla. He'll genitals, fingertips, face Jesus. Get ready, you know how gorillas fight.
I guess, but that does just kind of make you at face level with a gorilla.
But King Kong's big weakness, seeing a hot blonde lady walk by, mm-hmm. that distracts him. Maybe Jesus gets a couple punches in. You think, but you know who's definitely never seen a blonde lady? Jesus Christ. He has never seen a blonde lady. He's the
Joseph
son of God,
Smith,
but it
would
blow
to differ. Joseph Smith would beg to differ because Jesus got on a boat, told
he
the
lived
Native
in
Americans
Utah.
They were idiots.
I heard a whole thing about Jesus moving to Japan and living his life out there. Have you heard that?
That's, I mean, you know, property values get really low.
He's Rivers Cuomo?
becoming like a samurai and like having like a life there. It's crazy. Look into it. I'm not an authority on it, but some BuzzFeed thing flashed at me. I was like, oh, cool, Samurai Jesus. I'll keep moving along.
Oh, cool. That's definitely true.
Again, we're just designing more Spencer's Gift shirts.
Again.
Shirts can Samurai Jesus be part of the Samurai of this Jesus verse?
Yeah, sure.
Totally,
it's like,
yeah.
You know the Batman action figures, how it'll be like the same series absolutely. Of Batman action figures, but one of them, he's a samurai. One of them, he's got
totally.
Ice
yeah.
guns.
Oh, absolutely. I always think of like Arctic Adventure something or
yeah.
other.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Icebreaker Batman.
Or how they'd be like, here are the Ninja Turtles, but now two of them are in the Olympics. You're like, I guess.
Definitely, this is so. King Kong is normal. Jesus is grown up to the same size, which makes mm-hmm. them not really kaijus. The only problem is the people who are caught in between them. But they're of equal size, sure. So either King Kong shrinks or Jesus stays the same size, or
sure.
they both grow. I mean, it's a fair fight now.
Yeah, truly, truly.
But I do think Jesus has karate chop action, and I do think that he has taken a seat in his sort of plane that has ice skates on the bottom.
What?
His Arctic adventure Jesus plane.
The icebreaker.
With the missiles. The missiles don't even like have a spring. You have to flick them manually.
Yeah,
they
yeah, yeah.
A little button of resistance that allows you to flick them, but you're doing all
desert,
the work.
Desert recon Jesus. I feel like, boy, it's tough because I feel like Jesus is gonna, you know, he's got powers. And I think that jacking him up to the size of King. What about this, if I may? Not a Jesus, not a King Kong sized Jesus. Jesus piloting a King Kong sized Jesus mech.
Mm.
Yeah,
Jesus
that feels
mech.
Very throwbacky.
And
Pacific
then it's got
rim,
you know,
Jesus.
Pacific Rim Jesus. Absolutely.
Is it wooden?
A big and then it's the flaming
it's
sword.
Wooden.
You know, it's wooden. It's gilded though.
Yeah.
And he's got like flaming swords, ballistas. You know, all kinds of shit like that.
Trebuchet.
Yeah, shoulder catapult.
Most Absolutely. Importantly, salvation.
Importantly,
that's the ultimate weapon to wield against evil.
Good God. What if, oh my God, what if Jesus hits King Kong with the salvation ray and converts
King
him?
Kong knows no sin. That's locking it in double for me. My vote is for Kong because Jesus' powers don't work on him because he's human.
Okay, listen, I'm ready to make a decision as well.
You can't make King Kong feel bad about going to Wooga at a hot blonde lady.
Kong is blameless, truly.
Yeah.
James, you're going to be the tiebreaker here because I'm going Jesus. I think Jesus is basically, an X-Man, something close to a walking god. And I think the one thing that King Kong had going for him was being able to, smash Jesus and leave that big handprint, just like the type of the sheer size.
Yeah.
And I think if you grow Jesus to, if you give Jesus a mech, it's going to, it'll be an incredible fight. They're going to carve the Grand Canyon in this one. But at the end of the day, I think that's what happened.
That's what happened in the Bible. The earth is 4,000 years old. And
if you think
anything mysterious has an immediate meaning,
if you think Jesus wins, to the Bible. Turn to page 268. That's the Bible I read. I think Jesus takes it. I think this is Magneto versus the Hulk. And I think at the end of the day, Magneto takes it.
Jesus more command of more things, maybe more cerebral.
Yeah.
Yeah. The humility. I see. And then Sam, you're saying that Kong takes it.
Mm-hmm. Kong cares not for the loss.
He's a much natural fighter, and the way Jesus wins fights is by making you feel guilty, and you can't do that with Kong. And
you're not wrong,
Jordan. Yeah. I'm so sorry, but I think I'm going with Sam because I do think that Christ would lay down his life for his enemy before he would ever take up arms again.
You're right.
And I think
classic
Jesus. Christ, the whole movie, they're working hard on Christ's mech, and Jesus is like, touching the minds of everyone around him and being like, you're working so hard on this mech. It's just like God wants it. I know I am God / he's my father. I don't know how that works, but it all works.
Sure.
And just trust me. And or we'll conquer your village if you don't agree with me. And then
just remember, we have a mech.
Just remember, it's going to be a beautiful mech. And then he actually gets the mech. It's a beautiful build up. High noon. He meets Kong. Mm-hmm. In the wreckage of some sort of city, And then Christ gets the mech and he makes it kneel. And someone's like, why did the knees bend? This is a weapon for war.
And he has to put it in. I don't know.
That's the miracle that Christ performs, is that he makes the mech behave in this very symbolic, humble way. And ultimately, he lays his neck down, even though Kong doesn't have a sword, but he still does the thing, like, you can cut my head off. And then Christ sort of crawls down the arm of it and takes Kong's hand, and wild-ass Kong, who doesn't give a shit about human emotions or, the state of the Middle East or anything like that. He just crushes.
Sure.
Just
and whips
crushes
him into the sun. Yeah. And then,
we're
and
in
then
a
all
fight.
Along, and then all along, it was about the community that he built and not about winning this fight at all.
The sacrifice that he gives for his family creates a religion that is sort of a double-edged sword.
Truly.
And 2,000 years later, Methodists are writing little guitar songs about King Kong.
I do
like
want to
should
say.
Be.
King Kong came to town and Jesus came a running.
That's like a Southern Baptist hymn from like 1896. It would be more like, you beat Kong, you beat Kong, and that repeats 16 times. Oh, creator, beater of the big gorilla, you beat Kong, you beat Kong. That's what the young floppy hat denim service that's at like 3 p.m. because they can't be bothered to get up at 9.
But as we proved here today, he didn't beat Kong. He was defeated. Here on Fight Island, ding, 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 Kong takes it.
What are you saying? Christ followers misinterpreted
scripture? I think you're right. I think Jesus sees an opportunity for a lesson and maybe even to turn Kong, and does come down and, places his hand on him. And it's a hilarious scene because Kong just throws him into the sun.
Mm-hmm. Final image. Consider this. Uh-huh. King Kong, mm-hmm. military graveyard. He's looking at a grave. It starts to rain. The tombstone says Jesus.
Yeah.
Kong raises a large paw to his forehead.
Sure.
So, as one tear slides.
Yeah, absolutely. And then further, we pan even more out to a limousine, and the driver says, "Are you ready, Mr. C?" And we look in the back, and it's Jesus. He's not in that grave.
Jesus isn't in the grave.
He done rose.
And he goes, "Yeah, we're done here." And he puts shades on and drives away.
Yeah. And he clinks glasses with Lyndon Baines Johnson, who's another one in
so
the book,
weird.
Old friend. Just
LBJ.
Like Budapest Day, old friend.
And then LBJ's penis is out. He's pulling a power move all along. Man, okay, yeah, ding, ding, ding. You know, the people were waiting for it. 100 episodes, 300 fights, it all led to this. King Kong takes it, the heavyweight king.
Well, now I wish we'd done LBJ versus LRH. Just think about that.
Island, we'll have
Lyndon Baines Johnson up against L. Ron Hubbard would just be the fight of the century.
Just big dick energy, guys. That's a different podcast.
I feel like that happens on a yacht, and all you see is just like you're watching it from like 50 miles away on shore, drinking a Mai Tai. What is that?
Yeah,
these guys are fighting out there. James, thank you so much for coming back and doing the show again. Where are you on the web these days?
Hey, Jordan and Sam, thank you so much for having me. My name is James Austin Johnson, and you can find me at Shrimp JAJ. On Twitter and Instagram, or twitch.tv/shrimpjaj. That's shrimp, J-A-J. Thanks for having me, guys. This is a lot of fun.
Thanks for doing it.
Thanks for coming on, pal. We're going to go.
Hey, 100 years of Fight Island.
Yeah, right.
What an accomplishment. You know, I'm so glad. It feels like 75, you know?
I'm groaning in pain.
I'm groaning in pain because I was in a hot tub. Ow.
I'm groaning in pain from all of the brutal moves and stunts.
And I thought the water was
combo
too hot.
Breakers.
I took a hot. It wasn't even a hot tub. It was a hot bath.
It was just hot soup. It wasn't even that hot. But it didn't really burn me. It surprised me.
It burned my tongue some.
Guys, thank you so much for your continued patronization of the pod, for your continued listening to the pod, for rating us on iTunes, for telling your friends, and for just, you know, having fun with people having fun. We appreciate you guys every day.
Thanks for listening to a podcast that never even broaches the idea of anything serious ever, and I really like it.
It's a place to hide away from all of that and instead watch imaginations fight.
Jump on our Discord, join our Patreon for some bonus episodes. It's only $4 a month.
Absolutely.
And talk to us on the Discord, and we'll do some stuff on Twitch. And follow us on social media.
Heck yeah. Big things are happening. 100 eps, 300 fights. I'm going to go ice these wounds. My body is covered in punch marks, bruises, I guess they're called.
I'm going to go try that soup again, but I'm scared.
Nice. Great. Why don't you, before you do that, thank our listeners and then count us down.
Thanks, guys. And this is a ring announcer who counts. 1, 2, 3.
All right, break that up. That's just about enough of Fight Island.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.